This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, and welcome here to the Christian War Room and environmentalism, the second talk. You know, we are here in the Christian War Room to fight the good fight. We are looking at strongholds that set themselves up against the knowledge of God, and we are fighting against them. And today we're going to be looking at something which most people might think this is inherently good, but it's gone evil, and we're going to be looking at that. Okay, environmentalism. Last time we talked a little bit about where it's coming from. And when you look sort of, and again, it's probably most listeners here, they won't remember those days, but when I sort of look into my mother's generation, and when she was a young girl, she could pretty much go to a river and just jump into it and do a bit of a swim and get out of it. And then a few years later, she was born in 39. A few years later, maybe about 10, 20, 20 years later, she couldn't do this anymore. Because industry was very important, you know, everything needed to come back up line, and you know, Germany was destroyed at the time. And I know it was pretty much the same in other countries. And what they used to do is toxic affluence, yeah, toxic water was sort of let into the canalization, and then from the canalization, sometimes directly into the rivers. And then going into the sea. And we started sort of getting huge problems with rivers in the country that you couldn't bathe in them anywhere. There was no fish in them. They very often were smelly. They had the sulfuric smell at times, depending on what got into them. And, a big problem. Then we had other things as well. We had nuclear power coming up, and nobody really knew what would happen if one of these things goes up. We know about Hiroshima and Nagasaki, so that was, again, looking at the 70s and 80s. But what would happen if one of these nuclear power plants blows up in the middle of a populated area? Nobody really knew. Then we got Chernobyl. Then we got the accident in Japan. And the attitude changed a lot, and you got this environmental movement coming up saying no to nuclear power. We don't want nuclear power because it's too dangerous. Pretty much saying no to a lot of other things as well. And suddenly something changed in society. So people had a higher awareness of environmental issues. And I find now, like in my generation, 2018, everything is going slightly crazy. And you find that they've gone to something which was fairly dirty and not very nice to live in, sort of an atmosphere. And nowadays it goes to another extreme. So if you have a tiniest bit of pollution, it's a big problem today. And it might be justified, might not be justified. I cannot be the judge of that. I'm not an expert in this field, but it's just an observation from my own lifespan and the lifespan of other people, how things have changed from, anything for the sake of profit. Yeah, we're going to, poison our rivers, we're going to poison our water, we're going to affect the environment. We've got the dying off of trees and acid rain. That was a big thing at one stage, and we need to stop acid rain and so on. I mean, I noticed when the town I grew up in is very provincial and not far from my town. It's about 60 miles further east. The so-called Ruhrgebiet started, and that was a highly industrialized region. I think it's about 4 million people who live within in a fairly small, sort of cramped in a fairly small area. It used to be a coal and steel production, lots of industry around there. And one thing I noticed when I was young, not today anymore, but when I was young, was you went into this region and you just had this sulfuric smell in the air. And this was really, really strange. So I noticed as I was driving on a motorbike, I was coming into this region, and there are certain places where the whole air, the whole environment had a sulfuric smell. It didn't last very long, and you kind of got used to it and didn't notice it anymore. But when you came sort of from the fresh air a bit outside this area you went in, you could just smell it. Yeah. And again, sort of in the 70s, they did some stuff. They put chimneys really high in the Ruhrgebiet. in the coal area saw the pollutants were blown away and sort of scattered over the countryside. But I think one of the problems was that even most of the winds that came from the west, even though I lived 60 miles further east, that suddenly we started having problems with smog, so that the air was so bad that you couldn't breathe it, or people could suffer an asthmatic attack or something. Okay, so big problem, yeah, and that's there. We have environmentalism born out of it, which again addresses a problem, and there's nothing wrong with that, and it's good, yeah. And it did work, you know. People did something, and I remember sort of a friend of mine. He sold some not chemicals but chalk and other stuff to try and take the toxins out of the fumes which were blown out from the factories to harness them. And that was his job. And it wasn't very expensive for the companies either. So, you know, considering, you know, the profit they make, it was just like a little bit of an inconvenience. But very often, very little steps would resolve a big problem. And if everybody did this, then suddenly the environment was fine again. And to be fair, when you drive through the coal area today, I don't get this smell anymore. And when I was driving through it last time around, it's about 20, 25 years ago. But a lot has happened in 25 years, and good stuff as well. Yeah. Okay, but then something else comes up. Yeah. We've got these people talking about global warming. Then global warming happened for a few years, and then for some strange reason it stopped. And then they called it climate change because they still needed to, you know, put the fear of the weather into everybody, and of what it means for the climate to change. And people drew like this horrendous scenario, this Armageddon. And sure, Armageddon is going to come, but it's not going to come because of you driving your car. Armageddon is going to come because of people rejecting God. There's a slight difference in that. But anyway, so politicians come up with this thing, so they create this fictitious problem. Everybody believes in climate change. If you find it quite interesting, what we have observed here in England is that temperatures are actually going down a little bit. And if you ask people about climate change and global warming, everybody believes in it, but yet there's no real proof in it. When you look at global temperatures, it just doesn't add up. You know? They try to manufacture some of the higher temperatures by ignoring lower temperature readings in certain areas. Yeah. Glaciers are not melting away far enough, and so on. There's also another aspect as well, talking about global warming. One thing which nobody really talks about, but some scientists have been looking at this, and for different reasons I've been looking at the same thing, and that is changes in the sun. Yeah. And that is actually quite disturbing, but whether you drive your car or you don't drive your car doesn't make the slightest difference to the sun. One anecdote I heard was that they noticed that something was happening on Mars, that some of the ice caps seemed to be getting smaller. I don't know whether this is true or not. This is something, this is war room stuff, something for you to sort out whether this is true. If that is true, that would decisively say that there are changes, that there have been changes in the sun, and that therefore there have been changes on the planets around us as well. And there's not much we can do about it other than preparing, you know, if a global warming would occur, but it wouldn't be a man-made global warming. Anyway, what this has led to, let me just show you a clip. You know, people have been scared out of their wits. There's been a big lobby just pushing this, and the beauty is, you know, once you've got people on board and they all believe in a lie, they believe in some concept, then you can release laws one after the other. We've had this here in England as well, where petrol tax was just going up and up and up, and the excuse was always, yeah, it's for the climate, it's climate change. And then you can pretty much do anything, and nobody complains about this. If you were to say, oh, no, we need to raise taxes because, you know, we're really incompetent as politicians and we need to, you know, have a war here and another war over there, people would be very much upset, you know, if you just take money out of their pocket and you use it for something, you know, which doesn't make any sense or it's not really in their interest. But obviously climate change, you know, you cannot dare to say anything against it. If you're a climate change denier, it's seen today on the same level as being a Holocaust denier. It's really, really bizarre sort of what is going on here. And, okay, I want to play you a clip. And it tells you a little bit of what's going on. And it's like sort of a mass manipulation that's taking place where people are meant to think in a certain way. Okay, just wait for this clip.
If climate change is a real issue, why do they need to scare people into belief?
The current ideology in climate science can be summed up pretty easily. It all stems to the UN and the IPCC.
IPCC stands for the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
Is the IPCC really made up of 4,000 top scientists?
Well, I'm afraid it's not. I found out that some of the people writing this report are actually graduate students in their 20s. They're some of them 10 years away from even getting their PhDs.
IPCC has been under intense pressure since admitting its landmark study into climate change exaggerated the speed of glacier melt.
When the IPCC funds projects, so they issue a brief or project outline. And this project outline stipulates precisely that they must find a reason how the human are creating or causing global warming. They do not pay to find a natural reason.
And we're left with people thinking that human beings are the biggest problem this planet has to face.
What is the most serious threat facing humanity today?
Human existence.
Wow. Then once people feel badly about their own existence, they will give up their rights much more easily.
Sometimes I wish we didn't exist.
There is PDO, cloud cover, but it cannot tax the clouds. It's a bit like being funded to research how cigarettes cause cancer. Of course, we all know cigarettes do cause cancer, but it's not the only reason. If you want to be a real scientist, you must explore all possibilities.
Yeah, that is just horrendous, yeah. In case you didn't catch on to it, let me just replay one part of the clip again. And it's and it's very, very disturbing, yeah. This is the result of environmentalism without God, yeah. That kids think that they are the biggest problem on the planet. And the problem is, you know, I find this in schools in Germany. I find this when I work in education as well, that there are certain, that we are told as teachers to convey certain values in the classroom, yeah. And in one extreme, one sort of liberal who tried to implement the government's policy, and it's called British values over here, we are supposed to stick them into every lesson. Now, I teach engineering. And it's nothing to do with touchy-feely things. It's just hardcore science. And yet we are told, you know, to put British values in every session, whether it's got anything to do with it or not. Yeah. And British values are, again, are not necessarily equivalent to Christian values. So there's a bit of a conflict here as well. Anyway, let's listen to this one clip again, and then you make up your own mind of what is going on here.
What is the most serious threat facing humanity today?
Human existence.
Wow. Then once people feel badly about their own existence, they will give up their rights much more easily.
Sometimes I wish we didn't exist.
I mean, I would say it's just shocking. This is child abuse, in my opinion. When kids are indoctrinated to such a level that they think that it is better for them to not exist. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. When I heard this, I was speechless. Yeah, I've seen the video of this in a documentary, and I took it from there. And it's just like a kid, you know. She's maybe about 8, 9, 10 years old, and that is the kind of rubbish, the kind of poison they come up with. Doesn't only stop there. There used to be Prince Charles. Prince Charles, he made this marvelous statement that he wished he were, if Hinduism is true, he would want to come back as a very deadly virus to reduce the world's population. So that guy wants to kill people, and he thinks it's perfectly okay. You know, this is how mad these people are. And this is sort of the insanity of our generation, where people are indoctrinated to such an extent that nature is elevated to such a level that we are the only problem, and it's better for us to disappear or not to be here. So we need to encourage low birth rates. We need to encourage people to die prematurely. I recently heard, you know, some of the stuff that's going on now as far as euthanasia is concerned, where people are allowed, not allowed, but they're encouraged to die before their time. And there's some stuff going on in Holland and Switzerland where life suddenly has lost its value and life support machines are switched off before time. And bearing in mind that very often people do come round when they're on life support machines. The technology is there. It's a blessing. But no, people have got no qualms these days to just switch them off. And that thinking partly comes from this environmentalism gone really wrong, you know, being perverted and gone very, very wrong. So, any more stories? Yeah, I've got one more story. Germany, environmentalism is very, very big. I was with my brother. It was a cold winter's day. I was with my brother. I don't know where I went. I was at the local airport, and we were just waiting for something. And I don't remember what the context was, but I remember this guy. So I was asking one guy who was just waiting there, you know, next to the car, a question. He refused to talk to me unless I switched off my engine. Because, you know, it's better for me to freeze and to be cold and to catch a cold and to get sick. That is sort of his mentality than to sit in a warm car whilst I'm waiting for something. Yeah. And that is sort of environmentalism. The environment goes over the human. Yeah. And sort of this image came from that. And the guy was really upset as well. About this, and he thought that, you know, I was a scum of the earth because I kept the engine running to keep warm, you know. And I thought to myself, you know, how crazy is this, you know? How many times, you know, are we doing journeys which are too long or too short? I mean, how does he live at home? Does he keep the temperature in his house down to 10 degrees or 40 degrees, 40, 45 degrees? And just put a woolly jumper on to keep warm. I mean, maybe he does. Maybe he's consequent enough to do this. So has he got like a nice big house and he heats every room, you know, right up to 60, 70 centigrade? I don't know. The point I'm making is that there's a shift that's taking place, and suddenly nature is much more important than people. Nature is a be all and end all. People are just users. And something, you know, which was good, you know, look after your environment, make sure it's clean, make sure it's not toxic, make sure I can, you know, grow a crop on the ground, on the soil, and I don't destroy the rivers, I don't destroy the water supply, make sure the air is clean, which is all good stuff. Make sure the rubbish is taken care of, it's disposed of properly. Recycling is not a bad thing either. Conservation of energy, so. I mean, we've got almost an infinite amount of energy around us just through the sun if we only learn how to harvest it. And we are getting better at it as well. We are learning how to harvest it. So that is a bonus. And I'm not saying anything against this. On the contrary, I'm all for it. But what I'm against it is, you know, putting nature above man. And there's a big problem. There's a very big problem. I don't know what to call it. I think the term is like a moral replacement. We used to have a set of morals which was based around pretty much around a Christian Judeo concept, and that was throughout Western society. That has been gotten rid of and has been considered to be toxic by a lot of people, and it's been replaced with something new. So we need to have a problem. The problem is global warming. That's what everybody talks about. Nobody has proven it conclusively. And so now we need to measure ourselves against how good we are in trying to prevent global warming. And that is sort of some of the stuff which comes around it. And also, I mean, I sometimes have to laugh about this whole paper thing. Trees grow, and they grow very freely. We turn them into paper, into houses and so on. Paper has to be recycled now. You get quite in a bit of trouble if you don't do it. And the interesting thing is that a lot of wood industry is actually, you know, gone down, has been destroyed. Is it good to recycle? I think so. Maybe it is, but turning it into some sort of religion is a bit of a problem. Anyway, there's something which is called, which has been around for generations. It's been around for thousands of years, and that is a worship of the goddess Gaia. Gaia is another term for Mother Earth. And Mother Earth is worshipped as the one who gives us everything. And it's just a pagan concept which has been around for thousands of years. As people in the days of Nimrod went away from the living God and they started worshipping other deities, Gaia became one of them. We had the sun god, you know, people maybe make the jump and they say if there weren't any sun, there wouldn't be any Gaia either. We've got Gaia, you know, who gives all this stuff, and it's a female goddess which needs and requires worship, and that's one of the things where this is going to. It is Gaia worship that environmentalism has turned into. Okay, something good, you know, where you are a good steward of the resources God has given you, but you still thank God for it. You still worship God for having given you these resources, has now turned into something which is a god in itself, and that is Mother Earth. I find it interesting when you look at nature programs, documentary channels, National Geographic or something, they never talk about God has created. It's always nature has done this, nature has done that. And nature is almost personified like it is an entity on its own right. Now, my friend, nature isn't an entity on its own right. God has created this universe. He has created this earth. Everything on this earth is created by God. It is not a personified, it's not a person, it's not a being, it's not a spirit. It is God who has created this, and full stop, that's it. Anybody to be worshipped is not nature, but it's God, who has done it and who is the author, who is the originator, the creator of what we have. And again, it goes away from that. It's no longer God, because God is just, this is what the world thinks. He is just a figment of our imagination. We are a product of chance. And because we cannot explain how life is, it might have been aliens who came to this planet and seeded life. And then life started kicking in, then the evolutionary processes, according to Darwin, kicked in, and now billions and billions and billions and billions of years later, we are here with a consciousness, and we make up our own God, and nothing can be trusted. So this is really what they try to believe us. And then, obviously, you know, people have got a spirituality. The Bible clearly talks about it, that God has placed eternity into the hearts of men. So that we know, deep down inside, we know, you know, when we die, it's not all over. We are not just flesh and blood. We are not just an organism, you know. We are more than that. And we know this deep down. And so they come up with all the spirituality, and then we've got Mother Gaia, and we need to worship it, and we need to live in unity with Gaia. We need to take from Gaia and put back into Gaia, and so on, so on, so on. I watched a documentary some time ago, and it was just about a modern pagan couple, you know? And it was just sort of a family, and they were living like, you know, all the environmentalist stuff, you know, everything was green and organic and biological, and they were growing their own stuff, and they were, you know, being very enlightened in everything they were doing, and they always had a big smile, and they explained how they were doing this, and they tried to, you know, their personal lives, that there was a minimum impact on the environment, and so on. So the whole environmentalism was taken to an extreme, to an absolute extreme. And so this couple, the husband was very sick and he was dying. Eventually he died, and they put him into a compostable coffin so that when they bury him in the ground, it would all become one again, and they would plant a flower on this, and so on. And you heard all this stuff, but I mean, I felt like crying out to them. I felt like saying, you are missing it. You are missing it so far. You know, this is not the purpose for you being here. You are not just a product of chance. You are designed by God. God has chosen you. And God knew you from before the beginning of the world, and he wants you to come to him, to not worship, you know, the created, the things that have been created, but to worship him instead, you know, the creator of who has brought about all these things. A big problem, a very big problem, you know, the worship of Mother Gaia, and we find this in our day and generation. And it seems like the further people move away from God, the more madness, the more insanity seems to creep in. And insanity today is normality, and that is what is so shocking. If you had a time-traveling machine and you got somebody from the 1960s, before this, you know, a lot of this stuff came in, and you put them into our generation, they would just be shocked. They would be so shocked, they wouldn't believe what they were seeing, what they are seeing. Okay, I'm gonna finish it off, you know, about Christians and environmentalism. There was a virtue revival, and I once heard an old preacher saying, you know, and the old preacher says, look, if a farmer comes to Christ, you know, everything is different. He said the schnapps bottle disappears from the table, and the animals, they don't feel the whip anymore, and everybody's happier around them. And there was something in the Welsh revival. There was a revival here in Wales. A lot of people came to faith. A lot of Welsh people were working down the mines, and they suddenly had a problem that the pit ponies, they wouldn't listen to the orders anymore. Yeah, and they had to retrain them because before they were just shouting obscenities to the pit ponies who were, you know, carrying the carts of coal through the mines. They were just shouting and screaming obscenities at them. They were beating them. They were abusing them. And now people came to Christ. You know, the whole outlook on life changed. They stopped swearing. They stopped shouting obscenities. They stopped, you know, beating up animals. Yeah, they were kind to them instead. And the animals didn't know what to do. They had no idea. So they had to try and retrain them. So the point I'm making is if people come to Christ, there is a difference between the person and the creation around them. We will get a spirit of stewardship, I don't know whether I can use it, but we will get sort of an awareness. You know, God has given us something, and we need to deal with this. And we need to treasure it. And we need to be good in the stuff we are doing. We need to be good stewards of whatever God has given us. And that extends to the environment, where we just don't litter the place all over. We just don't leave a mess behind. We don't, you know, put our affluence into a river for somebody down the river to suffer as a result of it. But we clean stuff up. We make sure that we are responsible with the things which are there. And that very often comes automatically. It just comes through being a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians talks about it, that whosoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have gone. Behold, or see, the old things have gone. Everything is new. And so we need to live in this newness of our relationship with God and reflect it in other areas of our life as well. Should you switch off your car, you know, when it's a cold winter's day and you're just waiting for somebody, I think you can keep it on going. That's just my personal opinion. I know in some countries it's illegal. You're not allowed to do so because of environmental laws. But be reasonable, you know. Who is important here? And it's important that that you don't get sick, you don't catch a cold. And if you need to, then you need to. Yeah. There's no question about it. I think God loves you that much that he would rather have you warm than listen to some crazy environmentalist and get cold and be very uncomfortable. Anyway, once we come to Christ, we come to a different relationship to nature and to profit. Nature and profit isn't the be-all and end-all anymore for us. We will be living a lot more in tune with everybody, with creation, with the people around us, with God. And I think the key to environmentalism is Jesus Christ. Yeah. Have Jesus Christ and you will be able to hit the balance. Profit is no longer the most important thing, but people are much more important. And you can see this as well. Even people, you know, the pagans who run after these crazy gods, who run after Gaia and worship Gaia, even those people are more important than nature because we need to reach out to them. God loves them. We love them. And we need those guys to come to an understanding of the truth. And that is very, very important. The result is quite brutal. There's heaven and hell. And once we die, and I felt sorry for this guy, you know. I don't know whether he turned around when he was dying. They sort of documented this whole film, you know, this couple and the journey of this couple for a period of time, including the death of a husband. I don't know whether he made it, yeah. But if he didn't made it, if he didn't come to Christ, there's only one place for him to be, and that is not in the presence of God, but that is in the presence of torment and hell. Why? Because he was worshiping the wrong God. He was worshiping Mother Earth, and even though his body may be biologically composted and be united with the soil, the Bible says it very easy: from dust you have been taken, to dust you return. You know, he returns to dust he has been taken from. And that is the ultimate judgment. But his soul is going to be in a horrible place. Lord, we pray, open our eyes to what is really going on in this world. We pray, Lord, that you will give us a good sense of doing the right thing and living righteously before you, as far as nature is concerned and as far as everybody else is concerned. Help us to reach out in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.